The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. We're back. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors and all things related to that, and including, you know, firearms, Second Amendment, that type of thing. So here we are at 410 WCBM 680. That's the station you're listening to is WCBM. 680 is our location on your digital or manual dial, 680. And that's our phone number, WCBM 680. Pretty simple, 410-922-6680, in case you're not familiar with, you know, radio lingo. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Sparky and I are having a debate.
About?
Guns and jewelry. One for one.
But the guns are more important.
Oh, you just stepped in it, Chris.
I know. You just stepped in it.
So now, you know, I was trying to get her to take a nap and go back to sleep, but sorry, you just stepped in it. So anyway, it's like you buy a gun, I get sparkly stuff. So okay, yeah, I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. I am okay with that. 410-922-6680. I mentioned last hour about the president's speech at the National Rifle Association convention, and talked about his unsigning the UN's arms trade treaty. But we'll talk about something else that happened there as well. Let's talk to Glenn in Chestertown. Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Good. Had you heard these seasons before?
Well, I didn't quite catch them right.
Okay. Migratory geese, December 20th through January 4th. That takes care of the holidays. That takes care of the kids out of school. That takes care of time off from Christmas to New Year's and so forth. And then January 14th to the 31st. So there's two splits. There's no early goose split. Mm-hmm. In November. There's no Thanksgiving season. They had to cut it somewhere. Apparently they consulted with a gazillion people, according to this press release, and everybody was happy with leaving that Thanksgiving season go. So, you know, you can still hunt ducks up until the 29th of November, and I'm not sure what date Thanksgiving is this year, but I'm guessing you can hunt ducks up until, you know, the 29th. I'm guessing the 30th is going to be the first day of deer season. So I didn't look at the calendar. I guess I should have done that ahead of time, but I'm just kind of quoting it. So two splits on the Atlantic population, migratory Canada goose, December 20th to January 4th, and January 14th to January 31st, 2020. So that'll make some people happy with the lateness of that season. And then sea ducks, if you hunt them November 2nd to January 10th, and regular duck season, three splits, October 12th through the 19th, November 16th through 29th, December 16th through January 31st, daily bag limit of six ducks, two canvasbacks, daily mallard bag limit is now two birds, maximum of one hen per day. So there you go.
So they dropped them.
They dropped the mallards down. Yeah, mallards are hurting a little bit. Not as bad as the geese, but hurting a little bit. So, it's smart to do this the way they do it with, you know, air on the side of conservation, because sustainable wildlife populations is the goal. And you got to do it. You know, you can't just always give in to public pressure. You got to be able to err on the side of conservation and sustainability, you know. So that's that.
Yeah.
So how you been? Been good?
Yeah, fair.
Fair?
Yeah.
I got it.
Fair.
Yep. Yeah, I got it.
All right. Yeah.
All right, buddy.
You take care.
All right. We'll see you. We'll see you sometime. I'll tell Rob you said hi, buddy.
So. Right.
All right, man. Take care now. See you, Glenn. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. So I'm watching this thing yesterday, okay, and the president is introducing people who at the NRA convention on stage who protected themselves by using a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
Three different people. One was a woman who shot an intruder who was, you know, with bad intentions, broke into their home, her and her daughter, you know. The star of the show, in my mind, was this very humble man, a plumber, from Sutherland Springs, Texas, a man by the name of Stephen Williford. I'm sure they call him Steve. W-I-L-L-E-F-O-R-D. Stephen Williford. This is a man who encountered the shooter at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland, Texas. This is when a man walked into church one Sunday morning and murdered 26 people, injured 50. The shooter, I'm not going to name him, but you can look it up if you want to look up First Baptist Sutherland Springs shooting. You're certainly welcome to do that. I think he said he abandoned 15 30-round clips in the church, 30-round magazines. Excuse me, I don't know how to call them clips. 30-round magazines. He had, I think, 15 of them. Dropped in the church.
Yeah, I was about to say,
as
what I remember.
As he walked around shooting people.
Okay. Yeah, he just sprayed the place.
Yeah. Mr. Williford's daughter heard some shootings. Daddy, that's shooting outside. He was in a spot in the house where he couldn't hear it. So his daughter said, I think they're shooting. And he came out and he goes, oh my gosh, they're shooting over at the church. Ran out barefoot, grabbed his AR-15, went out barefoot. Okay. Guys coming out of the church. And both of them armed with semi-automatic firearms, both of them armed with autoloaders, both AR-15-style firearms. But Mr. Williford fired three shots. Pop, pop, pop. Center mass. Hit the gunman who was wearing body armor. Guy struggled to his car, got in his car, was able to start it, started to drive off. Mr. Williford shot again at the car, tried to aim where through the side window of the car where he thought the guy's head might be,
mm-hmm.
Stop him. The car took off. Mr. Williford got in somebody else's car. They went after the guy, and as the guy's driving away, Williford shoots through the back window, through the driver's side seat, and hits the gunman. Okay. He's only fired five or six shots at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the guy, you know, runs a car into a ditch, and by the time they got there, he had taken his own life with a handgun. I guess he was wounded, you know, whatever.
Well, he knew what was coming.
Oh, he knew what was coming. Yeah, so took the chicken's way out and did that. I mean, you know, anybody that slaughters people like that and then, you know, decides they're either going to try to get away or kill themselves is just a big coward, in my opinion, you know. So, but that's me. That's me. But he introduced Mr. Williford. The president introduced Mr. Williford, who is a very humble man, and you need to listen to what he had to say about that shooting and preventing that gunman from getting away. I will tell you something. It sent chills up and down. I still get chills thinking about it. I still do. All right. Let's talk to Frank in Essex as soon as we're ready to go here. Let's see. He wants to talk about birds of prey. All right. We'll talk about birds of prey in just a second. Get a little coffee. That's good. Frank in Essex, good morning. How you doing? Hello, Frank.
Oh, good morning, Alan. Alan.
Yes, sir. You're on.
I'm a long-time listener. Today I'm 87.
Oh, my God.
And I wanted to tell you about...
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. And God just got me that way.
Yes.
I was coming south on Marlin Avenue in Essex here, and I just get ready to cross the Deep Creek Bridge. I think you're familiar with it.
Very, yeah.
Cox's
mm-hmm.
Point.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up, and there's an osprey nest or a eagle's nest. Right after you cross the bridge on the left-hand side, up at the top of the cross arms.
That'd be an osprey, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And I called the gas and electric company. I said, you know, because there's extra high-tension wires up there on the top cross arms.
Mm-hmm.
And that nest is, I mean, that bird, I don't know how they could get them big sticks up there and lay them on that cross arm. But
yeah.
I thought I'd just a little noteworthy thing.
I will tell you, if you spend any time around the bay, you usually see osprey activity. And I've seen more osprey this year than I've seen in a long, long time. But if you watch them and spend any time watching them, they will take those sticks from wherever they can find them, on the beach or floating in the bay or creek or whatever, and they'll carry a 5 or 6 foot stick to put in their nest. It's pretty incredible to watch that.
It's amazing. At the bottom of the pole, there's a bunch of sticks that he didn't get to.
Oh, yeah. And imagine the failure rate, you know.
I go back a long way on Back River.
yeah.
Alan. And my dad owned 9 acres of ground down here at the very end of Thompson Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
We used to trap muskrats.
Oh, man.
Years back.
Yep.
And I was back in the 40s. And,
sure.
I mean, I hope I don't bore you.
No, no, I'm listening. Go ahead, please.
And we used to get get about $1.50 for the pelts.
Right.
We used to, my brother, he's older than I am, and he's still around. And my dad said, we used to have an abundance of muskrat houses in our swamp alongside our property. And we used to trap it. And, It was a growing up thing. It was really neat.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you ever knew that it was a drawbridge at Back River, and the streetcar tracks come across that river, went all the way down to Middle River Bridge. And when we had the flood in 1930, they said the bridge wasn't safe anymore, and that's along come Exxon and Goodyear and all that to
right.
get the buses, and so that's where the bridge, the streetcar stopped at Washington. But there was a guy that used to trap eels along that bridge there,
mm-hmm.
down Back River, and he used to sell smoked eels. He lived at, had a like a barge house.
Wow.
Lived in.
Wow.
My father used to stop there, but I think we got the eels for about 50 cents, you know, a eel.
Right.
He made the best smoked eels, you know. There's memories that, you know, we have.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
It was really, you know.
You know, that's something I've never eaten is eel.
No kidding.
Nope, I've never eaten eel. I mean, caught plenty of them. I've just never really eaten one, and I don't know why. I don't know why. I guess
did you eat fried eel?
I've never eaten any eel. Never.
They're good.
I'm learning that. So I don't know if Sparky would cook them or not. They curl up in the pan, you know, that from what I understand. But we'll see. Maybe we can get a couple of eels here and go from there. I've caught some big ones. I caught one of the biggest ones I caught in the surf. It was off one of the beaches, probably down somewhere near Atlantic City in New Jersey one time. And I caught a big one in the Juniata River in Pennsylvania. It took me an hour to get him in.
No kidding.
Yeah, close 3 feet long. But, you know, I hooked something bit my line and just stretched my line out. And I set the hook, and I knew there was a fish on there. And then it stopped, and I couldn't get it to move. And I assumed that it had swum under a rock, which is what, you know.
Wow.
I'm just a kid now. I'm probably, I don't know, 11, 12 years old, maybe. I don't know if I was that old. And then I see the rod come loose, and I'd reel again and stick it again. And it took me an hour to get that fish in. But, man, when that thing came in and it was an eel, my line was tangled and wrapped and so forth. But, boy, what a big eel.
Would you use a rod and reel, or were you using a – I go back with where the bamboo pole and the floater, you know.
No, rod and reel. Yeah, rod and reel. It could have been a Bronson push button. It could have been a Mitchell 300. I don't remember what it was at that time, but, you know.
We used to get our bamboo poles at the hardware store or, you know, something that sold everything just about.
Yeah.
Great life.
down in southern New Jersey where we used to vacation, they were telling me that the guys would put a piece of beef liver or chicken liver or something like that in a burlap sack on a rope and lower it off a bridge.
Uh-huh.
And they'd let it sit for a few minutes and haul it back up, and the eels were in the burlap, you know, their teeth had caught in the burlap, and they'd pull the burlap bag out and shake the eels off of it and throw it back in.
Well,
had you ever heard of that?
We used to do what they call bobbin. We would take and a good thread,
yep,
and thread the needle, a worm,
mm-hmm,
and we'd make a ball out of it. And we would drop that ball down in the water, and then when you feel like a nibble, you just whip it on up, and I think the silk thread, they caught their teeth in it, and then flop them in the boat.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Same principle.
When you mentioned the, I never heard of the using burlap.
Yeah, use a burlap bag, and I mean, you know, you lower it off a bridge or lower it in the river, and then when you pull it in, you know, you might have a half a dozen of them stuck on there. So, people are very innovative. So
I know. It seemed like.
Yep.
Way back, not to take credit, but I had a friend that he used to trap up in there a little creek, snapping turtles. And,
yep.
What he did, he built a trap that the turtle had to climb in, but he had wire turkey wire that there was across the top that when the turtle tried to come back out, they would hook in a shell and he couldn't get out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way they used it. Have you ever eaten a snapping turtle?
I have. I've cleaned them. I've cleaned them. I've eaten them. And yeah, they're right.
It's a little bit of work to it.
It is. No question.
Steaming them up until that shell peels off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was the best red meat, the four legs. I mean, and then.
Oh, they're very good.
They used to say it was seven different meats.
Mm-hmm.
And the turtle, I don't know how true that was.
I don't know how true that was either. But you know, they're not easy. Like they're not chicken. Easy to clean. That's for sure.
Yeah, the neck was like chicken, and I think the tail was, but the four legs was like steak meat.
Mm-hmm.
It was really beautiful. So,
I used to see those turtle traps, like you said, made out of chicken wire, turkey wire, and they'd always be slanted, and the edges of the wire would be pointed back down, almost like a minnow trap, you know, with the edges pointed back in, and they would have a plank down into them. The turtle would crawl down into the plank and the plank to get the bait in the bottom, probably an old carp or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, they go to swim back out or climb back out, and the wire was engaged in such a way that it went back into the trap, and they couldn't get past couldn't find their way out, or they couldn't get past that. Like you said, the wire catching their shells and, you know, dropping them back in. Yeah, very, you know, people were innovative, no question.
So. We used to have a black man what he'd do, he'd get permission to block off the creek that we had there. And he had these rowboats. I mean, he didn't have no power boats. He had these rowboats. They were either 16 or 18 foot long. And he rode up in the, one fellow would row up in the creek, and then they would block off the creek with his net.
Right.
And then the guy was up in the creek, he'd come beating the waters and chasing them carp out there. And I mean, it was an abundance of carp. Well, there's a lot of abundance of things them days.
Right, exactly.
And I had an uncle that, was a fireman.
Mm-hmm.
And, also, one of the things, they, for pastime, he would weave nets. And, I mean, he would sit there. Because a fireman in the Bomber City, you would go in and you'd be like 3 days locked up to stay at the fire house. And then you would, for occupation, he would weave nets. And, I mean, if you wanted a one-inch square or inch and a half or whatever you want, I mean, he would just sit there and he could weave along with a hand shuttle and just talk to you and just and don't miss a stroke. You know?
Wow, nice.
You know, and they made some fine nets, dip nets for us and all that, you know.
So, cool.
Yeah, I had an uncle also. He was Bomber City's battalion chief of the Bomber City Fireboats. He was more on the boat builder's side. He built himself a couple. He was from Virginia, and I have, you know, that boat building background, people and whatnot, and so it's been a good life for me.
It sounds like it, man. I'll tell you what, I appreciate the trip down memory lane. I really do.
Okay. You probably got other callers. I like your show, Alan. And
well, thanks, Frank.
Take care and God bless.
Okay. You too, buddy. Thank you, and happy birthday again.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And there goes Frank. How about that? Well, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We talked about Bay Country Bakery a lot last hour. We're going to tell you about them again one more time in case you've never heard of them. Bay Country Bakery, they're in Cambridge for our listeners on the Eastern Shore and those of you who travel the shore. They are right on Route 50. If you're on the eastbound side headed towards the beach, you'll find them at 2951 Coastal Highway on the other side of Cambridge, just through Cambridge. And they carry and make and bake and concoct and put together and, I mean, just assemble the finest, in my opinion, fresh-baked donuts, pastries, cookies, and breads on the entire Eastern Shore. No, the entire Delmarva Peninsula. Yay, the entire tri-state area, if not further. Breakfast, too, Bay Country. And Cambridge is served from 6 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday, all day Saturday. Now, when I'm on Route 50, I'm headed to the beach or I'm working or, you know, I'm likely to stop at Bay Country Bakery and get a nice donut, a cup of coffee. You know, donut to me anymore is a rare treat, rare treat. So I got to save my moments. So I do get a nice hot cup of coffee. I look for the big donut. That's how I remember. Big donut, big donut, big donut. It's in my head on the side of the bakery on the highway sign. And even after your morning adventure from 11 till 2, you can get a nice lunch, nice, tasty, hot lunch. Dave and Gina Levy, trained chefs. They strive to bring you the best, and they do. Bay Country Bakery, again, 2951 Coastal Highway, Route 50 East, just through Cambridge. Think big donut. Visit their website or like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery. Be sure to stop by, say hello. Maybe you'll see Sparky and me there. You never know. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Hey, you know what? Papa John's. This is their, Papa John's Farm. They're in Severn. This is their last year in business. This is their last spring, so you better hurry up. If you enjoy gardening or you just like pretty flowers around, Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn is the way to go. Greenhouses there at Papa John's are bursting with beautiful plants and flowers, and there's lots of greenhouses. They've got annuals by the pack or the flat, perennials by the pot. They've got bedding plants and planters and hanging baskets and colorful pansies and patience and petunias. And the proven winter brand specialty plants are there as well. Papa John's Farm has all the veggies, too, ready to plant in your home garden. Tasty tomatoes and squash and onions and watermelon, cantaloupe and hot peppers and a lot of herbs as well. Papa John's Farm is located just off I-97 at exit 12, 8029 New Cut Road in Severn. You can drive right to the greenhouses to make your selections or call 410-969-5909. Think about flowers and plants from Papa John's Farm for your garden or for your church. Mother's Day is coming soon, May 12th. And I just couldn't bring myself to get out of this commercial without mentioning World Naked Gardening Day on May 4th next Saturday. Because Papa John's is a perfect place. 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every day. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. Sorry, Ma. It'll grow on you. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk radio 680 WCBM.
He said, I'll love you till I die. She told him, you'll forget in time. As the years went slowly by, she still preyed upon his mind. He kept her picture on his wall. Went half crazy now and then. He still loved her through it all, hoping she'd come back again. Kept some letters by his bed.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Yeah, we get it. You do that on purpose, don't you? Just to slow the momentum down. We had one caller or two, and you slow the momentum down to zero. You put everybody in a morose mood, you know, melancholy, and now...
Not necessarily.
No?
No, that could be a motivating factor to let them know we've got open lines and they can call. Look, I got somebody right now.
Yeah, you did that, Chris. Thank you so much. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. I forgot to talk about Clyde's last time, didn't I? Well, let me talk about him right now. Clyde's Sports Shop is conveniently located just off Beltway Exit 9 at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. And if you're coming up 95 out of the city, take South Caton Avenue. You'll get right there to Hammonds Ferry Road, no question about it. Licenses, rod and reel repairs, live bait, lures and hooks and lead weights and fish and tackle for perch and trout and bass and bucktails, umbrellas and parachutes for rockfish. All kinds of fish and tackle, rods and reels, pen reels, ugly stick rods, trolling combos, Shakespeare, Fluger, you name it, they've got it. They'll put new line on your spools and, you know, just get you ready to go fishing. Full line of live bait, frozen bait too for any thing at all. 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. Oh, there we got Captain Dawn up there and wherever he is today. Hey, Captain Dawn, how are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good. I'm back here in Maryland.
Oh, you're back in Maryland.
Back in Maryland.
Well, how'd that accidentally happen?
oh, I don't know. I got a little, what they call it, a respite, a couple weeks, and then we might be heading out again. So,
good for you. Good for you.
Enjoying the good life, as it were.
Yes, sir.
It was interesting. I was out in Waikiki in Hawaii, and I took a nighttime shark trip, shark fishing.
Oh, man, that sounds like fun.
And the only fish I saw was the tuna that we cut up for bait.
No sharks, huh?
No sharks, but apparently they have been catching sharks, and they don't have to go far off coast to.
Right. Yeah. Did you see that story while you were out there about the about 11 or 12 foot tiger shark? They were trying to recover a body, and the tiger shark came up and grabbed the body that the officials were trying to rescue. Did you see that story?
No, I didn't see that story.
Oh, yeah, you can look that one up. There, somebody had drowned or something happened, fell off. Who knows what happened, but there was a body floating, and they're trying to recover it, and all of a sudden this big giant tiger shark comes up and grabs the poor deceased, and down it goes and disappears.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
we were up on the north end, Turtle Bay, and we were warned that there was an area where they had seen some bull sharks. And
right.
I was amazed. I said, why don't you pull every part of these people out off the beach?
Yeah, right.
Well,
no question.
They can't stay in business if they do that.
That's right.
Kind of like girls.
Yeah, crazy.
But the other thing, the interesting thing, the captain of the shark boat, he said, oh, you're from Maryland. How about those snakefish? I said, you mean the northern snakeheads? And
yeah.
He wanted to know all about it. Well, I don't know a whole lot about it.
Oh, man.
What I've been reading online.
Yeah. Well, so, there's a new thing out right now about snakeheads. The state is battling them again. So, you know, Joe Love is with public information. Just, you know, we've only been telling you about snakeheads for how long? 12 years, 15 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the state is now trying. They had an event that was in October down at the Harriet Tubman Center, some kind of event that they were having down there, but that got canceled. It was supposed to be in March, and it never happened. And who knows what's going on with the snakeheads in the state, you know. But Joe Love will be here. He'll talk about that. So.
Well, we're going to be heading over there very soon to play around with the snakeheads.
Good for you. Yeah.
My neighbor went and loaded up the back of his truck.
Yeah, there's plenty of them there, no question. And you can get those black salty minnows at Clyde's, that's for sure.
Well, I'm heading up to Clyde's today because I need to get a rod repaired.
Okay, all right. Well, if you're down on the Eastern Shore, stop by Chesapeake Outdoors and take a look at the Clacker Bobber. I don't know what the official name is, but it's a bobber rig that you put your minnow on, and you throw it out, and as you're reeling it in, the beads are beating against the sides of the bobber and clacking, and they said drives them crazy wild. So,
wow,
yeah,
give it a shot.
Yeah, try not.
And I'll stop at Bay Country and get the donut on the roof. I'll stop there too.
Yeah, exactly. You're going right by there, no question. And tell them you heard about it on the radio show.
I hear that someone is thinking about opening up a bed.
A what?
Bed and breakfast.
I'm losing you. You're going in and out, Don. Sorry. Is he gone? He's gone. Sorry, buddy. You bailed out on me. Tom in Perry Hall, let's talk about turkeys. What's going on, Tom Turkey?
Alan?
Yep.
I just want to make sure you got me. Yeah, it's Tom. If I remember,
I do.
Always text you back and forth. Well, I wanted to give my respects to one of your callers we just lost. His name is Greg from Somerset.
Okay.
Familiar?
Yes, I do remember Greg. Yes.
Greg, yeah, he's to tell you the joke about they ran across a deer with no eyes.
Yes.
No idea. Yeah, so he was a regular caller. We just lost him this week. He was a professional musician. If I may say that I think there's going to, can I say where there's going to be a memorial?
Sure.
For him. There's going to be a memorial gathering at the Union Hotel. It's being posted on Facebook. I don't have access to Facebook, but I just wanted to put that in there real quick about Greg.
Okay.
Now, this guy called about Liberty. I didn't get his first name. He was talking about the turkeys.
Yes.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to him. He seems to be a real,
Mike's been around a long time.
What was his first name?
Mike,
okay. Yeah, so he lives up around Liberty, and he didn't say exactly where. You don't want him to say too much about the turkeys. draw too much attention.
I know where he lives, so you know.
But I'm saying, but as far as the turkeys, I like to take pictures, as you know. I don't go hunting.
Right, right.
But you know, to each his own.
Yeah, well, drop me an email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, and I'll give you the general locale, and you can go check it out.
Okay, cool. I wanted to tell you about a new eagle's nest I discovered out there this week.
Okay, where's that?
Well, should I say the exact coordinates? Not coordinates, you know, the details?
No, not really. Just give a general idea if you want.
It's not too far from the Nicodemus Fishing Bridge.
Okay, I got it.
So I pull over to a regular place I go looking bird watching.
Right.
And I'm looking across it's like where there's a little cove, a little bit of water backs into the creek. I'm looking from one hill about, I know, at least 3/4 of a mile, if not a mile, across, up on top of power lines, and I see this nest, and I said to myself, if I can see it with the naked eye, it's got to be eagles.
Oh, yeah, they're huge. Big. Yeah, they're huge. They're 20
so
feet
I,
across
I
sometimes.
I zoomed in. There's an eagle. I could see it was an eagle. I couldn't get, like, a real good picture, but I got zoomed in, and I could tell. So that's pretty, you know, exciting for somebody who hunts out, somebody who's on that birds of prey.
Yeah.
And that's always fun. So, you know, everything's just starting to take off being spring.
Yep.
And the gentleman with the osprey nest, he was pretty fascinated by them. I mean, they're pretty common, but it never gets old. It's always fun.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Fun. It never gets old. I always like seeing them. And my still my favorite sight, and you would love to have this, and you would love to have this on video. I watched an osprey carry a fish. This was down in Dorchester County, down in the way back in there. I can't even tell you. On between the two islands, between Hooper's Island and Taylor's Island, okay? I look up. There's something that attracts my attention. I look up, and there's an osprey with a fish being followed by an eagle being followed by a crow. They're all after the same thing. Right now, the osprey has it, but I don't anticipate that osprey. I didn't anticipate that osprey would have that very long with getting in a battle with an eagle and a crow. And I figured the crow would probably wind up with it. So.
Isn't that something that's funny? Is that some of your real small birds that are pesky, like your eastern kingbird.
Oh, yeah.
Don't chase an eagle.
Yep.
And, the other day, I was watching, God, what kind of bird was it? It's slipped my mind for a minute.
Well, a mockingbird will take on a hawk, so will a catbird. You know, I mean, they're just, you know, that whole family. You know, that whole robin, catbird, mockingbird, thrush family are pretty aggressive anyway, so.
Right, but I think the eastern kingbird is the quickest and the
spiciest.
He's fierce.
Very
and, you and I were saying, I think it was just about a year ago, I just got him looking at a blue jay. He's mimicking a hawk.
Really?
You've seen that. I think you and I discovered it about the same time. I thought, yeah, I'm looking right at the blue jay. The other day I'm hearing it's like a weak hawk sound.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's a blue jay. He mimics just like a mockingbird.
Right, yep.
But I don't know what I was going to say. The other day I was watching. I spooked a barred owl. He went up into the tree. So I quietly walked towards him. I finally got an open shot and some light for the camera action. And then a red-winged blackbird, he goes over to the owl as though it's, he wants to run him out of there.
Wow.
Well, you wouldn't think that a little bird would try to harass a bird of prey, but they do.
Oh, yeah, they do. Sure.
All right, well, that was pretty much all I had to say.
All right, Tom. Hey, nice hearing from you, buddy. Good.
Okay,
good. I'm glad to see your emails coming in. I don't always respond, but I always appreciate them.
I know that.
Yep.
Thank you, Alan.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. There he goes. Good man. Tommy D. Arthur in Glen Burnie, thank you for holding on. I appreciate that.
Good morning to you, Alan.
Good morning to you. How are you?
I haven't had a chance to call you in a while, but I'm a long-time listener. It's a Saturday morning tradition.
I've been here a long time, buddy, 30 years,
have.
You know. So, yeah.
Oh, on the, you had the three birds. Chain there, the osprey, eagle, crow. The crow might have been just chasing predators out of his area. I don't think
that's possible.
To go for fish.
No, that's possible. You know, but it was a good scenario to watch. So,
oh, I'll bet. Absolutely.
You know, I'll figure if that fish hits a black top or hits a brush somewhere, that crow might swoop down and grab.
Oh, he might. Yeah,
grab a bite. You know, so
the crows are real known for mobbing behavior where they chase other. Birds.
One of the most.
I wanted to talk about ospreys. You had some osprey talk here.
Yeah.
I'll add a good story. So I'm over here in Glen Burnie. I'm not far from one of the creeks, the two creeks in Glen Burnie, Furnace Creek. And We've got ospreys that have nested down on BGE power, the high tower tension line, the tower, for many years. And they've had a big, pretty good sized nest. And in fact, maybe 8 years ago or so, BGE finally built them a custom aluminum box instead of just sitting up on the top beam of the high tension tower. But those ospreys every year would fly, and I'm maybe less than a half a mile from the creek. I'm not right on the creek. Every year, I don't know if it was the male or the female, both, but they would fly over to my yard where I have two big sycamores in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And without touching anything, they would just hover, come down to the top small branches, grab a hold of them with their talons, and start flapping their wings till they snap it off.
Wow.
They get a piece maybe 3 or 4 foot long, a couple other little twigs sticking on it, fly it on back and come back. Seen them do it 4 or 5 years in a row. They would do it multiple times, you know, in the, I guess it was early March maybe.
Got it.
Seen them do it many times. I don't think they like to sit on ground. I think
no, no, they don't.
Yeah, they're aerial creatures. They don't like to get on the ground. But interesting. They're unique.
No question. No question.
Snapping turtles. I did a snapping turtle buddy of mine years ago.
You did what? You did what? You did what?
We did a snapping turtle. We cooked up a snapping turtle.
Oh, you did a snapping turtle. Okay.
We cooked one up. This was years ago. It was probably 25 years ago. We caught one in a pond over in Howard County where he was staying at the time. And I remember it was delicious. It was a pain in the you-know-what to clean.
Oh, yeah, no question. Yep.
Get it cooking. I think we got it in a big pot initially, but I think it wound up in a crock pot.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good way to go. Soup is wonderful. The soup is wonderful, I can tell you that.
Excellent soup.
Yep.
But, so I thought I'd share those with you.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate you listening.
Take care.
Thanks, Arthur. Bye bye. 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. So there you go. Hey, Papa John's. Did I talk about Papa John's already this hour? I did? Oh, what?
Because you liked the idea of naked
gardening day. Yeah, naked gardening day. Gardening day. Yeah. So, get out the drone. What can I say? What can I say?
Don't.
don't say anything.
Don't say anything.
I won't say anything. All right. Hey, you know what? Now's a good time to think about hunting season. I mean, in the middle of fishing season, that's when you think about hunting season, right?
Season ahead.
Yeah, of course. You know, get ready. Go out, check your deer stands, and, you know, see if you can find the deer trails. I mean, you're a little late because everything's starting to bloom and green up and that type of thing. But, you know, still. And the ticks. You got to watch the ticks a little bit, you know. But, hey, look. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Clyde Sports Shop next day it rains and check out the X-Bolt Hell's Canyon bolt action rifles. You can check out all the X-Bolts. They're all beautiful, beautifully crafted firearms. But the Hell's Canyon, I mean, if you want a gun that is going to take it, this gun is the one. They come in several different varieties. The Speed, which is a little shorter barrel, then the Long Range, and then the McMillan. So, I mean, if you want to shoot something like a 6.5 Creedmoor or you know, 300 Win Mag, 7mm Mag, something like that at a long distance and dial into that long-range shooting thing, the X-Bolt is one of the ways you can go. It has a Cerakote barrel, which means it can take anything. It's got a threaded muzzle brake on the end, and the barrel's ported as well, and then it comes in this ATAX Arid Urban Camo, which is really makes it look cool. So check those X-Bolts out at Clyde Sports Shop. Then, if you're into the firearms, the shotguns, and, you know, you can even do this for turkey season because you got plenty of time, go check out the BPS Pump. The BPS Pump shotgun, 12-gauge, 10-gauge models are available. I think they even make a 20 and a 410 as well, but they feature bottom ejection. So if you're a waterfowl hunter, duck hunter, and you like a pump-action shotgun, you're not shooting the shells in the guy to your right. You know, you're not hitting him with your shell casings coming out of that hot, you know, that hot barrel and, you know, hitting him in the head or whatever. No, it's going right down the bottom. So that's a good thing. It comes in Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo or Blades Camo, any of the Mossy Oak patterns as well. That's the BPS Pump Shotgun. So there's two options for Browning Firearms at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway exit number 9 at 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop.
WCBM, Baltimore.
After a dry start to this weekend, rain should move in late tonight and then exit early on Sunday. It will be clear this morning, then some sunshine this afternoon. There will be some strong wind gusts out of the west today. Some of those gusts near 30 to 40 miles per hour with a high of 64. Clouds increase tonight with some scattered showers popping up late and a low dropping to 48. The rain will end early on Sunday, then a clearing trend through the afternoon hours. A little bit warmer tomorrow with a high of 66 and some sunshine on Monday. Expect a high in the low 60s. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
Hey, not only does Chesapeake Outdoors have everything you need for spring gobblers, they've got one of the leading experts on bow hunting, spring gobblers right there, Pete Morris. He's there probably after 11 today. I don't know if he's turkey hunting this morning or not. He shot a nice gobbler with his Matthews bow the other day. Two beards, both over 10 inches, 23-pound gobbler. It was a gorgeous bird. Got a picture of it coming up in the next issue. But they've got the guns, the ammo, the camo, the calls, and the whole thing. But why I'm talking to you today is about their sale on all parachute lures, 20% off. Now, Chris, I know you're not a striped bass fisherman yet.
Yeah.
But next time you're on the shore, you need to stop by Chesapeake Outdoors. 20% off on all parachutes and on all Andy trolling rods. So that's a great deal. If you want to, if you're, you know, you go out there this year and you're looking at your rods and you're going, eh, these are, I need to replace these rods. Well, now's the time. Chesapeake Outdoors has them. Rods, reels, tackle for bay, tidal rivers, freshwater fishing, full selection of live and frozen bait, Kent Island's largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies right there on exit 39B Dominion Road off Route 50, just as not far after you cross the bridge on Kent Island, no question about it. The Matthews Vertex bows are in stock, the Raven R26 and R29 crossbows. Check them out. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors, 39B Dominion Road off of 50 on Kent Island, 410-604-2500. 20% off Andy trolling rods, 20% off all parachute baits. Get them this weekend.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Now, Red Solo Cup is the best receptacle for barbecues, tailgates, fairs, and festivals. And you, sir, do not have a pair of testicles if you prefer drinking from glass. Hey, Red Solo Cup is cheap and disposable. In 14 years, they are decomposable. And unlike my home, they are not foreclosable. Freddie Mac kissed my ass.
Woo! Red Solo Cup. I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Now, I really love how you're easy to to stack, but I really hate how you're easy to crack. Cause when beer runs down in front of my back, well, that, my friends, is quite yucky. But I have to admit that the ladies get smitten, admiring how sharply my first name is written on you with a Sharpie when I get to hitting on them to help me get lucky.
Red Solo Cup.
Well, now, see, why didn't you play that in the bottom of the show?
Well, I had to make up for it. So
yes, you did. That was a big mistake.
No.
You want to put somebody...
I have a method to my madness.
Thank God you do. I just come in here and wing it.
Well, we work each other out.
That's true. That's true.
It works out.
It does. It does indeed. So, did we give our sponsors all a good fair shot today? I think we did.
Yes, most definitely.
I think we did. So, yep. And guess when? Guess the next time I'll be back here.
Next week?
Yeah. And what is that?
Mother's. Well, the day before Mother's.
No.
No. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's
Come on.
It's the 4th.
And what does that mean? It is World
Naked Gardening Day.
That's correct.
You got this fixation about.
Not really. Look,
know.
The garden club's coming up next. I'm going to guess that Alan doesn't talk about World Naked Gardening Day.
I think you're right on that one.
Today, you know, and our garden listeners that are already tuned in, you know.
And they're waiting.
We're trying to give them a chuckle, you know. So I'm going to listen. I think maybe I'll listen next hour and see if anybody talks to Alan Summers with the garden club about World Naked Gardening Day next Saturday.
Oh, it's naked.
Naked?
Naked. Not naked.
Buck naked?
Buck naked. Exactly.
Buck naked?
That could be your new porno name. Buck naked.
Buck naked. My new what name?
Porno name.
What's a porno name? A porno name.
Porno name. Yeah.
I don't have a porno name.
You should.
No, I don't. No, I have. I don't even have a radio name. I use my own for some.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. Remember Dwight?
Yeah.
To be here?
I think I do. He came.
Dwight was the engineer when I came here.
Yeah, okay. I think I was gone by that time.
He passed away anyway. But his radio name on some station he was on at one point was Glenn Burney.
Well, there was somebody who used to do traffic many years ago.